Good afternoon. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. We're glad to have you with us today. This is pretty special for us. Afternoon service rather than evening service because of the potluck dinner. But good to have you all here today. Thanks for making it out. We have a guest speaker who asked me a few minutes ago, "You're not going to do one of those recorded introductions, are you?" And I, well, sure. Absolutely. It could take a while. But no, we gave an introduction to Jim Myers last Wednesday night, and I didn't feel like that was all that necessary. How many times has he been here? But no, it is worthwhile to acknowledge that that God has blessed us, and those blessings include this special presentation today. It is biblical. It is a practice that's observed in the book of Acts as travelers would come from wherever they were going, missionary travelers in particular, that they would report back to the church that launched them, the place where they were sent forth, to the believers that prayed for them as they went forth, to believers that helped to finance their travels in going forth. And it's an opportunity to come back and to report not only in accountability for the funding, but also just in an encouragement in the sense that our representatives have gone to bear fruit and to be used by the Lord in very powerful ways. And I hope that's an encouragement for all of us. Otherwise, we get myopic, we get focused on us. We tend to think it's the Elijah syndrome of we're the only ones left kind of a thing. And the reminder that there are believers around this world, that there's fruit being born, that there's some very exciting things going on is very valuable. Wednesday night, we heard Jim Myers give his report, so you know a little bit about, or quite a bit about, the ministry there from his perspective, the president of the Bible College, the pastor of the church, the founder of the ministry, the old man, so to speak. This afternoon, we get the opposite end of that spectrum. We get the younger end, a first-year student at the Bible College who has successfully completed his first year and who has been invited back for his second year. Not every student is invited back. It is determined at the completion of the first year. Because remember, these students, he'll tell you this, I'm sure, these students are not paying tuition. They are being paid. They are being supported. They are put up in an apartment. They're given a food stipend to spend each month to feed themselves. And so if they are not serious, then they are not returned in the following year. They can be selective about the students that do come back. So that's a matter of prayer. I don't know how many they have in store. The last class was pretty small. Hopefully the next class will be pretty large. And I'm sure Bob will tell you all about that. Does he need an introduction? Does everyone know Bob Bolander III? All right. Give us the word.
Блажені непорочні в путі, ходящі в законі Господнім. Блажені хранящі окровення Його, всем серцем ищущі Його. Они не делают беззакония, ходят путями Его. Ты заповедал повелени Твои, храни твердо. О, если вы направлялись пути мои к соблюдению уставы Твои, тогда я не постыдился бы, взирая на все заповеди Твои. Я славу бы Тебя в правоте сердце, получая судом правды Твоей, буду хранить уставы Твои, не оставляй меня совсем. For those of you who don't speak Russian, the English is on the board. This is how I started the last message that I spoke here, was with Psalm 119. It is my favorite chapter in the Bible, and so I started to memorize it in Russian as well. I want to start with a word of prayer. It's a good way to start any message, so let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for all of my brothers and sisters here, my family. Thank you for the year that you gave me in Ukraine, for all the blessings there. I pray that this message would be an encouragement to all of my brothers and sisters here, and just it would be a blessing to all of us. I just thank you for your blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, I did spend the last 9 months of my life in Ukraine, and for those of you who do not know where Ukraine is, there it is. If you've seen this picture before, it's because I stole it from my dad's slideshow. Ukraine is on the eastern end of Europe. It is not Russia. There's been some amount of confusion as far as, am I in Russia, am I in Ukraine? I'm in Ukraine. Also, it is not the Ukraine. Many people like to call it the Ukraine. Is it visible enough? Okay. But I have been in the capital city of Ukraine. Here's a map of the metro. I love the metro. You cannot get lost on the metro. You have pretty much a straight line on each line that you're on. It doesn't turn. You can't get lost. I highlighted in the circle there, that's where I spent 90% of my time there, in between the Darnitsa and Levoborezhna stations. I lived on Levoborezhna. The school, the church, and pretty much everything else is on Darnitsa. So you can see that there. It's on the eastern end of the city, on the other side of the river. The river isn't on the map. Levoborezhna means left bank, and so the left bank is on the east side, and that's always confused me. I think it's because the river actually runs south, so the left bank is on the east. My apartment. This is actually a view from my apartment building. I don't have a picture of my apartment building, but they all look the same anyway. Everywhere you go in Kiev, and not only in Kiev, pretty much any city that was built, or majority of the buildings were built in the Soviet era, they all look identical. They are tall buildings. Our building had 16 floors, and I lived on the 10th floor. It was a very different view up there. I thought it was a big deal when we moved to the second floor, and now I've lived on the 10th floor. It's a nice view. You can see, no, you cannot see. Rodina Mat, and I didn't put a picture in there anyway, so won't worry about that. Here's the students, and these are my brothers and sisters that I've spent the vast majority of the year with. We have four days of classes a week, 5 hours of classes every day, plus at church, plus ministries, plus everything else, and I lived with three of them. And I'll talk a little bit about each of them. I thought that I could spend an hour on these, but I won't. But I will start from the front row, from left to right. We have Maxim, and he wasn't smiling in this picture, but oh well. He's a musician, and right from the beginning, at the start of the year, we have a morning worship time every morning. We have our Greek or Hebrew class first, and then we have a time for student-led devotions. And right away he said, oh, I play guitar, and if you want, I'll play for you every day. And so that's what he did. He just stepped up, and he jumps into any ministry. He did the same with the church. And the Sunday school class, they needed someone to play guitar for him. He says, oh, I'll do that. And so he has his talent, and he wants to use it. And that's been good. Eager, he has long hair most of the year. He finally cut it toward the end. He sat right next to me, and it was my job to keep him awake. That was my job in class. I sat in the corner, the back left corner from the teacher, and he sat next to me. He was working most of the year, and he worked the night shift, so he was tired. And I thought I was already on Skype with him. We're trying an experiment. We're trying to have someone watch from Kiev, and I will talk about him in a second. Okay, wave if you guys can hear me. Not you, Chris. Okay, I hope this works out, and if not, it'll be recorded and on the website, so you guys can listen to it then. Okay, and I will take this off the screen. Okay, talked about Eager, and Eager was best friends with Nazar, who's on the front on the right, and the two of them were really interesting. They actually come from a charismatic background, and so not everything that they believe lined up with the college's beliefs, and yet it's a grace ministry, and they are believers in Jesus Christ, and so as brothers, we had great fellowship over that, and it was great to have both of them in class. Skipped over Yura, he's the short one. Yura was one of my roommates, as well as Nazar, front on the right, and Vadim in the far back corner in the black. They were my three roommates. We had a three-bedroom apartment, and Yura and Vadim shared. Yura was an interesting fellow to get along with. He's a great guy, and I got to be good friends with him by the end of the year, but he was just interesting to get along with. He stays up late, up to 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and he'll be cooking in the kitchen, banging pots around, and anyway. And he actually had attended another Bible college in Kiev for a 3-year program before he came to this one. And he's currently, I think he's already in Kazakhstan. He was invited to a ministry there. They invited him for a whole year. And so if it works out, he may be there all year. And if so, he won't return for our second year of college. But he wants to return if there's the opportunity. And he may just spend the summer there and then come back to Kiev. And then Nazar. Nazar speaks wonderful English, and so he was a great friend right from the beginning. There's a varying degree of English between all the students, but he prefers to speak in Ukrainian instead of Russian. And because of that, he prefers Ukrainian over Russian, and he prefers English over Russian. So he would just prefer to speak in English with me, and wasn't that helpful with practicing my Russian. But he is a good friend. And then the second row we have Lena, who had been a student when I went to visit the first February, but then she graduated, and now she works as a translator for the college. And she is currently listening on Skype, so I've got to embarrass her and her fiancé, Pasha, who is also listening. Some of you met Pasha when he was going by the name of Paul. He visited here right before he moved to Kiev last summer. And he walked in and said, "Hi, my name is Paul." And then he mentioned something about moving to Kiev within a month. And I said, "I'm moving to Kiev within a month." And so it was just strange coincidence. And so we got to be good friends there. And he has a bachelor's degree in Russian, so his Russian was far above mine already when we got there. And now they're engaged. They're getting married August 21st. My best friends have a habit of getting married when I'm not in the country. Not sure why they're doing that. I may get to return in time. Still haven't figured that out. But maybe I'll just have to watch it over Skype, like I've done before. Yeah. Next to Lena is Elvira, and she was one of the two graduates this year. She moved back to Turkey, where she had been before. She lived in Kiev. Pastor Jim talked about there was a student that graduated and moved to Turkey to have a ministry there, and it was one of his students that got saved that came to be a student. And that's Elvira. He didn't mention her by name. I don't know why. But now you have a picture and a name to go with the story. And she's moved back to Turkey, and she's already helping with the ministry there. She also speaks good English because she lived in England for 2 years. Before, she lived in Ukraine for 2 years. She lived in Turkey for 2 years. Before that, she lived in London for 2 years. And so now I figure she'll be in Turkey for another 2 years, and I don't know where for another 2 years after that. But that is Elvira. Next to her is another Lena. Ukrainians don't have that much imagination with their names. There are 10 Lenas in the church, and I teased them about that, and Lena probably does not appreciate that joke right now. But I'm not listening to her, so that's okay. This Lena with the red hair, she is from Krasnoyarsk, Siberia, and so she's the second farthest away from Kiev as far as her hometown. I'm the farthest. Austin is 10,000 kilometers away from Kiev. Krasnoyarsk is only 5,000, so only 5,000 kilometers away. That would be 3,000 miles. I've adjusted to doing a lot in metric. I'll have to readjust while I'm here. Because she's from Siberia, she does not speak English, and so I've actually, out of all the students, I would say I know her the least. As my Russian got better, the better that I could communicate with her, and she's always very quiet. She usually doesn't ask questions in class or say much, but she is one of the best students, especially in the languages. She's always one of the top scorers in the Greek and the Hebrew. So she's real smart. Next to her is Ola, and she was the second of the two graduates. You'll see more pictures of her later. I got to go with her to her hometown of Mirgorod for spring break and for the week after we graduated. So I'll talk more about her then. She is now graduating. She is looking to stay in Kiev and look for ministry and work there. She hasn't found any yet, so that's one of the things that we'll ask for prayer for. Next to her is Yula, and she is furiously trying to learn English, and she uses me for free English practice a lot. She also speaks sign language, not American Sign Language, but Russian Sign Language. We have different sign language, and so she has a ministry with the deaf, and whenever she's memorizing verses, she's usually wiggling her fingers around in front of her, and if you don't know what she's doing, then it's kind of strange, but she's memorizing with the sign language as well, and it helps her to remember her verses. And in the back row, we have Zach. His name is Zakir. He goes by Zach. He lived in England for 9 years, so his English is also pretty good. He is actually from Uzbekistan, and that's actually where his main burden is. After he graduates, he wants to get involved in a evangelism ministry to his home country of Uzbekistan. It's a very Muslim country, and not very open to Christianity, but that is his passion there. I'll talk more about him in a minute, because one of the main ministries that I was involved with was an English study group that I was working on with him, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Of course, in the middle is Pastor Jim Myers, and you all met him last week, and then me and my Dr. Pepper shirt. I became famous for that Dr. Pepper shirt. And then Vadim. Vadim is an interesting character. He always dresses in black, so I tried to call him Johnny Cash, and he didn't get the reference. But he's always dressed in black, and he's very quiet. He does not speak English, and so for the beginning, it was hard talking with him. He was one of my roommates, and so I had to get along with as much Russian as I knew. But the more I learned Russian, the more I got to know him. And right now, I'm praying for Vadim because it looks like he will not be returning for the second year. As my dad mentioned, we are required to maintain grades. In fact, we were told to have a 70% passing grade or we can't come back for second year. And in exchange for those requirements of studies, we are paid a stipend, we're paid rent. We don't have to work while we're students there. It's an all by grace ministry. The classes themselves are free. And so Jim said that Vadim is welcome to come and audit all the classes. But he will be needing to either find work or find support because he wants to continue to study, but the grades were not there. So I'm praying for Vadim how, if the grace support is there, he may be able to continue to study because he does want to study. And he has a real passion for evangelism. And he is himself a new believer. He was just saved a couple of years ago. But just walking to and from the college, he'll stop and tell anyone, just tell him about the gospel, hand him a tract, and he's just ready to tell anyone. Those are the students we have there. We had two graduate, and so we have 9 first years, either 8 or 9 that will be continuing on to second year. All have said that they want to return. Ones that possibly might, Yura, if he might be in Kazakhstan, and Nazar also. Nazar is currently in Poland, having translation ministry there, and I don't think he's planning on staying there for the next year, but we'll see about that. All right. I did not take many pictures in the church, but this is Pastor Jim at Word of God Bible Church. They operate very similarly to us here. They have church Sunday morning and Sunday night, and they have a midweek on Wednesday night. One thing they do differently is that they teach in Russian, or they translate into Russian. Jim speaks only in English, and then he's translated. And they have a prayer meeting on Sunday nights. And they do only have the one prayer meeting a week, and I just wanted to mention that I'm very thankful for all the prayers that that go on at this church. I know that you've been praying for me over the last year. I got 2 postcards from the women's prayer meeting on Wednesday mornings, and those were so encouraging to get. So I just wanted to say thank you again for that. As I was going to these prayer meetings and praying in Russian with them, it hit me that that was one of the things that I missed the most about this church here is the prayer meetings. And I appreciate how many we have here and just the prayer warriors that keep coming back because they know that prayer works. I wanted to thank you for that. Something else in this church, they have a choir, and I sing in that choir. This was one of the ministries that I did not expect to have when I went over there, but it came up, and basically how it happened is at the time, choir director complimented my deep voice and said, hey, we need a bass. And actually, they said we need a tenor. I tried out for the tenor. She said, no, you're a bass. So I've been singing bass. Since we had a bit of a restructuring of the choir, I've been the only bass there for about the last 6 months. And that has been interesting. But it has been a good ministry there because we are there to worship the Lord. Another ministry I didn't expect was that of the youth group. They call it the Молодежная group. This is not the youth group. I don't have a picture of the youth group. When in English we talk about a youth group, what do we normally think as far as age-wise? Teenagers, right. So I would assume our teen class here, we start at 13, we go till 19 or 20 or 21. But that is a teen class. It's a youth group. Well, for them, youth means under 40 and not married. And there's quite a range there. It had as young as 13, and then they would have 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 30-somethings. It was a very interesting group that I went to a couple of times in the fall, and then they started asking me to teach there. And then I started teaching there every week. And for this next year, I'm going to recommend that we split up the groups, and actually I already recommended it at the end of this last year. I want to have more of a teen class, inviting these kids I'm sitting with here, they're 11 and 12, 13. I want them to be a part of the youth group and then have a separate fellowship time for the not as younger ones that want to be in the youth group. But it really has been a blessing for me going to those groups. At the start, it was kind of hit or miss. I would go some weeks, other weeks I wouldn't. And also when I would teach, it was dependent. I was dependent on a translator. And if there wasn't a translator, then we wouldn't have a youth group. But then I just started teaching in Russian, so that worked out okay. Yes. Valentina. That's, of course, Ola there on the left, and this is a ministry that she has had that she invited me along to go and visit with this dear lady, Valentina. She is 80 years old. She is blind. She has been blind since the age of 30, and she is just a dear, sweet believer. She is always praying. She's been praying for Austin Bible Church for years, and now she's praying for them even more since she's met me. And every time we would go and visit her, we'd visit her maybe twice a month, and we'd bring her groceries or help out in some way, and she was always asked, how is Austin Bible Church? How is America? How is your family? And she's been praying for us diligently. It was really neat right from the beginning when Ola asked me if I wanted to go. Our first purpose was to have communion with her because she has not been able to get out of her apartment for years, and so she hasn't been able to come to the church. And so the idea was to bring communion to her. And I said, okay. And I went over there to encourage Valentina, and yet she encouraged me so much more. And that's how it happened over and over again. Like I said, we went there twice a month. And we would go there trying to say something, and she would end up giving us a Bible class. She would say something that she had been either listening to. She's blind, but she has an audio Bible she listens to, and she would tell us about some verse she had heard, or maybe she's listened to a Bible class recording. or just tell us about her experiences in her life, because she has had a very difficult life, and she'll testify that it's God that has gotten her through all of it. And she is a real blessing there. Another point of prayer for her, she has a son. She has two sons. One of them lives with her in Kiev, and he is not a believer. And sometimes he would talk with us when we would go over there, and most of the time he would kind of leave the room or go out because he didn't want to hear about all that God stuff. And so she has definitely been praying for him, and I would ask you to pray along with me as well for her health, and for her son. That is her main concern. And while we're on the topic, also for Margaret, Jim mentioned, I don't remember if he mentioned during the report, but during the prayer meeting, one of the translators that's been with working with Jim, with the college, with the church for years, her name is Margaret, and she is in very poor health right now. She is currently in the hospital, I believe, and anyway, she could use some prayer. The health is one thing. The spiritual health is more important for her encouragement, and her main burden isn't for herself, it's for her son. She also has an older, unbelieving son that is her main prayer target. So we can pray for both Valentina and Margaret in that respect. The English Bible study. And I don't have any pictures from the English Bible study, but I do have this picture of Zach. And this was an idea that he came up with. A ministry as a part of the Baptist church that he goes to in Kiev. And he had this idea, actually it wasn't even his idea, but the church has these English programs. They teach English to Ukrainians. It's a very popular thing to study there. You get a better job if you know English. You get better pay, better promotions if you know English. And so they use it as an outreach, a way to get unbelievers into their church. They teach English. And then they said, well, it would also be good if we had an English Bible study for them. Because when they signed up for these classes, they had a checkbox, would you like to hear about the Bible in English? Well, they wanted a native speaker. And so Zach asked me, do you know any native English speakers that knows about the Bible? And so it just fit perfectly. And I went with him. He translated for me because there was a wide spectrum as far as English ability. Some had been going to English classes for years, and they were conversational. Others had just been to one class, and they were just interested and didn't speak any English. But I had two rules for our English Bible study club, and I told them to everybody that came in. This is an English Bible study. But you don't have to know any English. You don't have to know anything about the Bible. The only point is that I'm going to talk about the Bible, and I'm going to talk about it in English. I'm not going to teach English. If they have questions about an English word, of course, I'd be happy to explain. If they have questions about the Bible, of course, I'd be happy to explain. And we did this every... We started on Monday nights. We moved into Tuesday nights. We had groups ranging from 2 people to 20 people at the largest. And it really was an encouragement for me. And I know for Zach as well. He kept talking about how much encouragement it had been to him, how much review, and just in translating for me, he was learning himself. When he had brought the idea to me, he had this curriculum called Christianity Explored, and he was wanting to use. He was real excited about. And it starts with the book of Mark, and it explains through chapter by chapter, it explains who Jesus Christ is. Well, the week before we were going to start with this group, Pastor Todd Kennedy came to town, and he assigned us to read The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus from Goodseed. And each on our own, as we read this book, we decided we want to do this instead. And so we met up at the college, and he said, this was a good book. And I said, yeah, let's use that. And basically, we started with Genesis 1, and we did a walk through the Bible, starting with Genesis 1, starting at the very beginning, explaining... We explained what the Bible is, how it's a book, how you should study a book from the beginning, and going through, tracking the promises in Genesis 3:15, the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, and we showed them the promises of the Messiah. And we did finish the Old Testament. We went very slowly through Genesis, but we finished the Old Testament and pointed out, okay, all these promises, they're pointing at Jesus Christ. So it was a very, very fruitful group there, and we're looking to continue that next year. Okay, normally when someone goes for a two-week mission trip, and they come back, they get to talk for an hour, right? Well, I was there for 10 months, so this may take longer than that. Each of these modules were 2 weeks, except for the third one, Prophecy, that was a four-week module. And these are all the classes that we had in the college over the course of two semesters. And I could talk about each of these for an hour. I won't. But I do want to give you some highlights, just as far as what we've been learning, starting with soteriology. It's a burden of Pastor Jim. He starts every year, both first years and second years will hear soteriology every year, because the majority of, I don't know majority, but I guess in the past, the majority of students have come from a Baptist background, and they don't all believe in eternal security. And so he starts with soteriology, make sure that everyone is clear on eternal security. And even more important than that, what I appreciated was how Jim would start every day with a word of exhortation to the students. 2 week course, 4 days a week, eight times. And he would take about the first half hour to an hour of every day. Excuse me. He would take the first half hour to an hour of every day. And he would start by saying, "Have you met with the Lord this morning?" He started that every day. And then he would explain how it's so crucial to spend a daily time reading the Word in prayer, both talking to God and hearing what He has to say in His Word, to have that time of fellowship every day, every morning. And he would warn us that even though we're students in a Bible college, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean we're suddenly spiritual. That it is especially important to not lose sight of what we're doing, to not lose that fellowship with God. Especially dangerous when you are a student in a Bible college. And so he started that every day, sometimes 15 minutes, sometimes the whole first hour out of a 5-hour day. But it was important to him, and he impressed that on us. He also really impressed Bible memorization. During the first 2 weeks, he gave us a list of 30 verses to memorize. And they were on the test. We had to give, I think, 10 of the 30 verses. And so I appreciated that. And we had the life of Christ with Pastor Mark Musser. It had said Christology, and so I had expected more, but there's plenty to talk about in the life of Christ, and that was a good course. Prophecy was 4 weeks, and it was an overview of all the prophetical books in the Old Testament, the major and the minor, and trying to go through 17 books in 4 weeks was quite hectic, but what he did is he did it through the historical perspective. And he started with the timeline of the kings, and so we understood when there was a prophet to the north, a prophet to the south, who was the king, and I like the historical perspective on that. The Christian Way of Life with Pastor Todd Kennedy, and it was just a very practical, here are verses that you need to apply in your life, and it wasn't... I guess he did use the Upper Room Discourse in John 12 through 17. And that was kind of our overview of the Christian Way of Life. Ecclesiology with Pastor Byron Shearer. Byron was a wonderful teacher, and I don't know if any of you have heard of him. I doubt you have. Somehow he is not in our circles at all. And all these other pastors I was at least familiar with, I don't know how we hadn't met him because we agreed on so many things, but he's just from a different church and somehow we haven't connected. But he was a real encouragement to me, and the reason I'm talking about him is he was real personal with us students. He really showed that he cared for us, and that's why he kept coming back. In years past, he's come a number of times to Kiev, and in years past, he had been funded by his church. This year, there were no more missionary funds, and they were told they couldn't pay him, and so he paid his own way. And he said, "No, I care about these students, and I want to go there." He was already committed, And it was through that personal interaction with the students. And after class each day, I would end up talking with him for hours. He would take me to McDonald's, and that's a good way to get on my good side. The first day it happened because he needed help grocery shopping. So I went with him, showed him where to find light bulbs, and they said, I'll take you to dinner. He went to McDonald's. We talked for hours. And then the second day, we ended up walking the same way because he also, the professor apartment's also on Levo Brezhnev Station. And he said, well, I'm going to stop at McDonald's. You want to come with me? Okay. The third day, we also went to McDonald's, and the fourth day was already a pattern. And well, so it's a good way to get on my good side, feed me. But more than that, he was just personal. And I was just, he was just somehow open. I was able to talk with him about things I wouldn't expect to talk about with someone on the first day you met him. But he was just, had that attitude, just a real caring attitude. It was through that ministry that he had there. It was that Thursday, which is our third day of classes for the week, that I was convicted that my gift is the pastor-teacher gift. I've been praying about it for years, and I've seen that I have the ability to teach, but it wasn't only through that that drove it in for me. It was the caring, shepherding attitude that he showed. It was through that and through the same that I had noticed in the English Bible study. It was just the personal interaction there, the caring for them. It was thanks to Pastor Byron that I've been convicted of that. Made a course on apologetics, which turned into more of a course on cults, on Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. In case you didn't notice, the name Ivan Kundrenko, Ivan Viktorovich Kundrenko, he is not American. He is Ukrainian, and we actually had four in a row, that all taught in Russian instead of being Americans speaking in English and then translating. So my Russian was not yet to the point where I could understand everything, and Lena sat next to me and translated for me. So thank you again, Lena, if you're still listening. The session on cults, we ended up squishing it all into 3 days instead of a two-week class. It's only a one-week module. We came in early on Monday, stayed late Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just because of his schedule, and so we got a five-day weekend out of that. That was nice. Church history was interesting. His name isn't Michael, it's Mikhail, and I don't remember his last name. He was also Ukrainian, spoke in Russian. And we learned church history from the Orthodox perspective, which is something that we don't normally study here. And so we were learning about different councils and different agreements, but they weren't about the Catholic popes. They were about the Orthodox side, which is fascinating. Of course, before the split, they're the same church fathers. Christian Finances by Oleg Lozinski. He is the administrator of our college, and this is, as in his administration, this is a topic that he likes to teach. Basically, it was an overview of the book of Proverbs. And we just read through the whole book several times, and we looked at all the different verses that talk about money and finances and the wisdom needed to use them properly. One thing that stood out to me is we were counting up all the different words for finances. The concentration in the book is in Proverbs 31, about the hard-to-find wife. Homiletics, we have the Pastor Vasily Munko. He's from Lviv, which is on the western side of Ukraine. And we only had a 1 week in homiletics, which is the study of public speaking. The majority of that was a practical application. He gave us each a set of verses to speak on, and then we each gave a presentation. We had 1 week of that this year. We'll have one more week in this year, this coming year. And that was our first semester, ending in Christmas. I did not come home for Christmas, as you may have noticed. And we could talk about more of that later. Dispensations with Pastor Robbie Dean. And the dispensations were very similar to the dispensations that we've been taught here. The main difference was that he called dispensations ages and ages dispensations. You just flip the words around, but the teaching is the same. We had a survey of the Old Testament history books with Pastor Jim Myers again. Hermeneutics with Pastor David Roseland. And I had met him a couple times before at Schaefer conferences and when he came here, but again, he was a major encouragement to me. I followed him around everywhere he went those 2 weeks. And we just had a great time of fellowship there. He called me, he said I was his handler. I met him at the airport. I showed him how to get around Kiev and translated for him because he didn't know any Russian, but he was all excited about learning as many Russian words as he could, which I thought was fun. It was a stark contrast to the next guy who was boring and didn't want to learn any Russian. And right after 2 weeks with David, and he was like, oh, what's the Russian word for this? Oh, what does that say? I can read that. It's Cyrillic. I can read it. And then Dad came, and he didn't care about Russian. But I also followed him around everywhere for 2 weeks, and that was also a major encouragement. And so we had the series of hermeneutics, or as he actually called it, Bible study methods, starting with observation of the text, and then interpretation, correlation, and then application. And we really applied that with the course on eschatology, as Dad has talked about before, because he already gave his report months ago. But he also teaches a course on Daniel and Revelation. He teaches that on the he taught that last year. He'll teach that next year. And so for this course on eschatology, we did more of a survey. And so we did a lot of observation of the different prophecies and correlated them together. It was a good application there, practical. And then the course on counseling with Pastor Myers again was not at all what I expected, because he does not teach counseling the way that many people think of counseling. And if it perfectly with what my dad taught with stop counseling and start shepherding, start ministering, which was the course we were doing in PMW right when I left. I was here for the first two of those, I think. But even that is what he believes in the shepherding ministry of the pastor and not in using human wisdom and counseling. But even more basic than that, how he approached this course, he started with basic Bible promises, basic Bible commands. And so he again gave us a whole bunch of verses to memorize. And he said, okay, these are the verses you need to memorize. How would you apply them to yourself? And so he showed us very practically, you need to be able to apply verses yourself before you can help anyone else apply verses. But you're going to use the same methods. You're going to read the verse, understand it for what it says, and then understand how to apply it practically. So that was a very fruitful course. Israelology with Phil Heidemann was interesting because we had just had Old Testament history, and so we covered the same historical timeline again, but always good to review. And then he ended with Romans 9 through 11 with the present circumstance and future of Israel. And so that was fruitful. Marriage and Family with Pastor Mark Musser. He came back, in case you didn't notice, he was there for Life of Christ, and he came back for Marriage and Family. When he left the first time, he told us we had homework, that we all had to get married before he came back. And so then he could tell us what we were doing wrong and how to do better. Of our group, only one of us is married, and that's Zach here. And I thought I had a picture of his family. I guess I didn't. And he has a almost two-year-old son named Daniel. So it was good material on marriage and family, and again, we were in Proverbs a lot on that. Then we had Pastor Kennedy in the book of Romans. There's a lot to talk about in the book of Romans. We did not cover everything in 2 weeks. We did a lot in chapters 1 through 3, very intensive, and then we did more chapter overviews of 4 through 8, and then he kind of very quickly summarized the rest. But he gave us a lot of notes. He likes to give notes. When he was there for the Christian Way of Life, he ended up not giving us a final exam. Instead, he gave us 70 pages of notes, and he said, just read those two more times in the weekend after I leave, and that'll be your final exam. I didn't like that, but oh well. And then after him was his son, Titus Kennedy, And he's been here, taught the course on anthropology. He taught on archaeology here, and he's going to teach that for us next year. That's really his passion. He's the modern Indiana Jones. And so every day he would start with a 10-15 minute thing of, oh, this is something that's going on in biblical archaeology today. And he would show us, this is something that we found this week, or this is some new artifact we found last week, or this is news that happened today. And it was neat to see that these things are still being discovered. These aren't just things we found 100 years ago. They're things that are still finding today. And as archaeology continues to advance, it, of course, continues to prove the Bible more and more, and it never disproves it. So that was fascinating. We talked a lot about in anthropology. We talked about origins. We talked about the origin of the world and how the archaeological record backs up the creation record, of course. And then we talked about that a lot also in apologetics with Pastor Mondragon. And so we had review there again. We talked about how you can use scientific evidence and how science backs up the Bible instead of contradicts it. So that was very fruitful. First day of class when Dr. Mondragon was there, he complimented me on my English. He said that, oh, you speak English very well. I said, why, thank you. I've been studying for 19 years, so. He apparently didn't get the memo that I wasn't from there. So that is basically a summary of what we've learned in a year. And a lot of good material, and I'm looking forward to the second year. So this was all the ministry stuff, all of the important things, the things I was expecting and not expecting. I've got some pictures about fun stuff. This is Alona, and this is Ola's niece. She likes to show her tongue. And I think I managed to get one picture of her actually smiling while I was there. And I warned her, if she kept sticking her tongue out at me, I was going to show everyone in my church. She kept doing it, so I warned her. Okay. There are a number of interesting phrases in Russian, or interesting translations, words that are similar, but important to know the difference. And they were funny to me over the last year, and I'll try to explain them as well as I can. Slava Bogu means glory to God. Slava Bobu means glory to Bob. This may be the coolest thing about the Russian language, is that the name for God is one letter different from the name for Bob. They end it in a G instead of a B, and you can see it's one letter different. And so we would pray to Bob, we would say glory to Bob, we would sing to Bob. We talk about Word of Bob Bible College, Word of Bob Bible Church, all by accident, and it was always hilarious. There are not very many people named Bob in Kiev, and so whenever I heard the name Bob, I turned around expecting them to be talking to me. Except I kept hearing Bog instead of Bob, and the people I'm around talk about God a lot, so I heard my name a lot. This was an interesting translation. I used Google Translate, was a big help over the year. I tried to say the phrase, make a mountain out of a molehill. And it's Zdelat iz muhi slona. But if you take the words literally, make an element out of flies, it does not translate mountains and molehills, and so I got the phrase from Google Translate, and I used it, and everyone thought I was smart that I knew that phrase. And then I realized that I knew the word Sloan as elephant, because we had a white elephant party. Billy Sloan. But make an elephant out of flies, and I don't like it. I think our version's better. Because it is physically possible to make a mountain out of a molehill. You just add more and more dirt. You can't make an elephant out of flies. Obrazovanie and obrazanie. They sound very similar. They look very similar, but that's a very important difference. And it's easy to confuse. There is one time I was talking with Zach about obrazovanie, and then someone else asked me, oh, what were you talking about if it's not personal? I said, no, it's not personal. It was just about obrazovanie. The difference in the two words is education and circumcision. And so, it wasn't a personal conversation. We were talking about education. We were talking about Tyndale Seminary. But I got the word wrong on that. There's also the word trusi. The singular is trus, for a coward. Trusi is cowards. Now, the other word is spelled the same way, only you pronounce the accent on the second syllable instead of the first. And in written form, there's no difference between cowards and underwear. So you have trusi or you have trusi. And I learned that one just within my last month there. Didn't actually come across that problem. And there was another one I was supposed to add. Okay, yes, I remember. I had been saying for months that when I'm going to go back to Texas for the summer, I'm going to eat a lot of food. Because I've lost 50 pounds over the 9 months I've been in Kiev. And I was saying, it's because of all the food we have there in America, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat at Pluckers, at Chick-fil-A, at Jack in the Box, at Sonic, all these places we don't have over there. And I'm going to go to Texas, eat a lot, and when I come back, I will be fat. Well, I thought I was saying fat. I was using the wrong word. I was saying stupid. And no one corrected me on this for 6 months. And so I've been saying, я буду гореть в Техасе, я буду кушать много-много, и когда я вернусь, я буду тупой. Тупой is stupid, and толстый is fat. And it wasn't until the last week of classes, we were baking cookies. David Roseland had left us a whole bunch of stuff to bake cookies and brownies, and so I was working on that with Elvira. And we ate all the cookies in one day, just the two of us. And, okay, we shared a few, but the brownies we shared with everyone else. And then she said, I'm going to be fat. And it was at that moment that I realized that that was the word for fat. That was not the word I'd been saying all year. And I knew the word already, I just was saying it wrong. And no one corrected me. I will go home to Texas, I will eat a lot of food, when I come back, I will be stupid. Yeah. Okay. Sonic will do that to you. Yeah. So those were adventures in Russian. I got to take a trip to Switzerland. And this was not just a pleasure trip, this was for the purpose of getting a new visa. For those who have been following on my blog, which I wanted to mention, by the way, I have a blog. For those of you who want to read it, it is bobinukraine.wordpress.com. I'm not currently in Ukraine, so the last post is named Bob in Texas. And I do not post as frequently as I had wanted to, but I will try and post more over the next year. Anyway, long story short, I bought a 5-year multi-entry business visa last summer. It was expired in September because they changed the law. And they said that all old visas are hereby expired and you have to get a new visa. Well, Americans can stay in Ukraine for up to 90 days without a visa, so I was there for 89 days, and then I flew to Switzerland because there is a embassy there in the capital of Bern, and I went to buy a new visa there. And while I was there, I got to spend a week in Switzerland. I missed out on the second week of Byron Scherer, and so that first week I got to talk with him all that time, and the second week I missed out. And so now I have an excuse. He was talking about ecclesiology, about church administration, and that second week is when they were talking about how to solve church problems. And so now when I'm a pastor and a church problem comes up that I can't solve, I'll say, I missed that week. I was in Switzerland. There are a lot of beautiful church buildings there in Switzerland. This is the Münster of Bern, the monster or big church of Bern. And it was very tall. It is the tallest cathedral in all of Switzerland at 330 feet at the peak. And that is Moses standing out front. These are from a church in Zurich, where I spent most of the week there. It's called the Frau Münster. There are three main churches in Zurich. The one that's on all of their pictures is called the something else Munster. I forget. But they think it's the best church, and I thought it was very boring. This one had better stained glass, called the Frau Munster. And I did not take pictures because there were signs everywhere that said, don't take pictures, and they were in English, so I couldn't pretend I didn't understand them. I took these off of Wikipedia. This is the real highlight of Switzerland. I mean this picture. I got to spend the week there with Michael and Christine Weeks, and they hosted me in their home. They were very gracious there, and it was a good time of fellowship with them. McDonald's was terrible. I have a habit, a tradition of eating McDonald's in every country I can. It was the worst in Switzerland. It would cost three times as much as in Ukraine, and the food was half as good. So, they were the highlight. I also got to go to Mirgorod, and this is Ola's hometown. I got to stay with her family there. I went there for spring break, and also for the week after I graduated before I came back here. For spring break, there was snow. Here's a comparison. This is off the same bridge. On the left, it's winter. On the right, it's summer. That's the difference between March and June at the resort of Mirgorod. Mirgorod is famous for their drinking water. It is supposed to be very healthy. It is supposed to be very holy for those who are Orthodox. And so I was warned that if you go to Mirgorod, you have to taste the water. So I did. I was also told that they have good pizza. So that was the highlight of our second trip, is that we went to the pizzeria. And the other main event, I was invited to see a Ukrainian traditional wedding. And it was very interesting. It was not a believer wedding, and so it was already different. I don't know if I'd seen an unbelieving wedding before. There wasn't a pastor. They weren't in a church. Pastor didn't do the service. It was some government official. And it happened twice that the bride and the groom had to bow down to their parents. And this is one of those times. They bowed three times and then gave them flowers. It's very interesting. I got it on video in case anyone would be interested in that. It's all in Russian, so. Actually, it's in Ukrainian, so I understood even less of it. This was at the reception, and they have these very traditional cakes. Bread tastes amazing in Ukraine, so it's only natural that they have traditional ceremonial bread involved in their weddings. And this is Ola with her sister Tanya and her niece Alona. I was staying with them for the week in Mirgorod. So that's the end of my slideshow. How to conclude. We can have questions. You have a question? Is that why you're raising your hand? No? Oh, okay. You have a question. There is an elevator, yes. And it worked most of the time. Actually, there was, I think, 2 days it didn't work. Yeah. Yes. Oh, it was great. It was, I was instantly healed of all my diseases, and and I grew a halo, and my face was shining for a couple of days. It tasted kind of salty, and I think we chose the cold water. They had either cold or hot. They had these, I guess I didn't get a good enough picture of it. It's not like some magic fountain or something. It's like a water dispenser thing. You push a button, and it pours out in a little cup for you. I'm sorry, this is in Mirgorod, which is a city in central Ukraine. It is 4 hours by train east of Kiev. Yeah, it means city of peace. Mir is peace, Gorod is city. Yes? It was cold, and I loved it. We had about 3 months with snow on the ground. We had a month with the temperature entirely below freezing. It got down to minus 32 Celsius at the coldest one day. And that is still minus very cold in Fahrenheit. Celsius and Fahrenheit are the same at minus 40, by the way. So, I like the snow, but 3 months was enough. Variety is good. Yeah. Honestly, it wasn't all that deep. I don't know, in inches, but it was there for a long time. And I was the only one I saw that built a snowman. We did actually have some snowball fights, so that was fun. But I was the only one that built a snowman. I should have put a picture in there. They have electric radiators, and they work most of the time. We lost hot water for about 3 weeks in February. That was fun. And I was told that 3 weeks was actually a good number. We should have lost it for more. Yes. We talked about advertising it. That's kind of how we advertised it. The idea behind that English group was that it was for those who had gone to the church for the English classes to learn English, and then they could come to classes in English. There were some 1,500 people that went to that church for English classes, and there was supposed to be a day at the end where they were all gathered together, and I was supposed to give a presentation, a 10-minute presentation to 1,500 people. And that never happened. They rescheduled it 3 times, and after the 3rd time, they only told us about it after it had already happened. So, just by word of mouth, really, through people that had been in Bible studies with Zach before, and others that saw us there in the group. So it was, because we did not advertise it as much, it was a smaller group, but I thought that we were able to have just fewer people that were there consistently, and we were able to talk about more with them. Thanks, I should have mentioned that. It is a part of the requirements to be a student at the college, not only to keep up your grades, you're supposed to be a member of a church. They don't say you have to be at Word of God Church, but they highly recommend it if you don't have one. And the other requirement is that each student has to have a ministry. They have to be involved in some kind of ministry. They don't want us to just study for 2 years and say, oh, I'll serve afterward. No, they want us to be serving while we're learning, and I very much agree with that. They did not enforce it as much as they wanted to, and a couple of times Oleg would tell us about that and say, look, you're supposed to have ministries, and you don't all have ministries. You need to do something about that, and that kind of helped. As far as which ones we were involved with, Zach and I did the English group. Several of us helped with the youth groups. Not only me, I did most of the teaching, but also Yura came to a lot of those, Eager and Ola and Maxime came to play guitar. They were involved with the youth group. The choir, Ola and Maxime were also involved with that, and Yura for a few weeks. Otherwise, though, I don't actually know what the others were doing, if they had some kind of full-time ministry. When I went there last year, there was the ministry at the Children's Cancer Hospital that Elvira had helped with before, and that was mostly Jim Dumas. Well, he was in and out of the country all year with various visa problems and health problems, so we weren't able to be there that consistently this time, this year. As far as in class, we were there from 8:30 in the morning until 3 p.m. And then afterward, as much as required for homework, different professors did it differently. For some, we had tests every day that we had to study for. For others, only one exam at the end. It varied. Yeah. Luke? I have not recently had contact with him. As far as I know, he's in Houston right now. I haven't talked with him recently. Yeah. I really especially enjoy, like I talked about with Jim, how he would encourage us about the daily need for time in the Word, time in prayer, and time in memorizing the Word and dwelling on it. And I loved how after all his years of experience, his years in teaching at a Bible college, and that he would impress that on us as students, that we can't take that for granted, that we have to be daily in the Word. I think that impressed on me the most. Through the website, they have a website, and I know that at least Lena and Yura found it through the website, and Zach. Others through word of mouth. Max found out because of his friend, a different Yura who had graduated last year. I found out about it through praying for them in this church. There's different ways. I was surprised by how few applicants, or as far as I thought we could have more. We only had a graduating class of 2 last year. We have 9 moving on to next year. It'll be interesting to see how many we get. There is a secret, though, and in case any of you would like to apply, there is an open invitation. Oleg told me when I left that if you want to bring any Americans back with you, they're welcome, as long as they're good students. And the secret to getting through the interview process is it's not only a seminary. They don't only want to teach pastors. It was the primary focus at the beginning to teach pastors, but it's also for other servants in the church, other ministers, those who want to serve. And as Jim has said, that his requirement when they do an interview for a new applicant is that they can't just say they want more knowledge. They have to say they want to be in ministry. So that's the secret. Say you want to be in ministry. But even better, desire to be in ministry. Other questions, or I can close in prayer in whatever language you would like. All right. Deutsch? Sorry, I don't speak German. Okay, how about I close in prayer? Dear Father, I thank you again for this year, for all the blessings, for all that you've taught me, and for all of us students. I pray for each of our future ministries over the summer as we find ministries or work, and you would show us wherever we go what you want us to do. Pray you would return us for next year, and pray you would continue to impress on us how we need to be in a daily fellowship with you. Just pray that this time would have been an encouragement to my brothers and sisters here at Austin Bible Church. Just thank you for all of their support, all of their encouragement, all of their prayer. Thank you for all of your blessings. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.